Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And wow, it's been a wonderful year, 2012, here in the life of the Fountain. And that's been a real reality as we sang, if God is for us, who could ever stop us? It's one of those things where we realized when the church was starting that God was going to move. We knew that God was calling this church to be a church that would reach out to so many people in this community. And it's been amazing to be a part of this and to realize that reality of Scripture where it says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And I'm reminded that that's not only a promise for those who love God, but also that God wants to do that in the lives of so many people that he loves in this area and beyond. And so it's been an awesome, awesome year. And what I wanted to do is, instead of blowing through our first year as a worshiping community, I wanted to pause and to highlight, here's all the things that we did, but to stop and pause and to say, God, wow, thank you so much for using us in a powerful way. Thank you so much for what you did. And we want to look back to remember who you are and what you did, so God, that we can, our worship can have even more oomph, even more truth to it, worshiping in the truth of what God has done. And so today's called Best of 2012. Best of 2012. We're looking at the best moments that God did in the life of us and at the Fountain in 2012. But also, I want to share with you today the story behind the story. There's a lot of stories behind the story that I want to make sure that they're huge God moments that I wanted to make sure that we didn't just pass through, that I let you know so that your worship, so that you'll realize the power of God and what God has done in 2012. So before we get going, let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank God for that. God, we thank you so much for all that you have done, not only in our lives, but even together as a body of believers. We thank you so much for planting the Fountain, for watering and helping us to grow not only spiritually but also as a community of faith. God, we thank you that this is your church. We thank you that the center of it, the very head of the body of Christ, is you, Jesus. And God, we thank you so much that as we've abided in you, as we continue to look toward you and trust in you, that God, you promise that you want to continue to use us in powerful ways to make a difference in this world. And so, Lord, we want to pause today and give you thanks and to say, Lord, we really, really are in awe of who you are, what you've done. And Lord, we don't want to for this 2012 year without saying, God, thank you. And so, Lord, help this to be a wonderful testimony of your goodness, of your love, and what you've done in the hearts and lives of us and people in this community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I want to go through some of the stories and kind of highlight some of the key things. And this is not a normal message, but my hope in this, in sharing this, is that that your God will become greater, that your view of who Jesus is will become more clear, and praise will overflow even more as we go into the new year of what's possible when we trust in God. So, although we're just 9 months old as a church, we started having preview services back in October of 2011. Some may not know that, but we had our very first preview service at Sharon Springs Park in 2011. We had two services in October, one in November, one in December. And then when January 2012 hit, we had two preview services. And all these services were at night. We did services at night so that anybody could come and be a part of it. But one thing you may not know is that all the way through until January, one of the things that we did was we had to store everything from the church at mine and Mandy's house. Everything that you see, some of the stuff we didn't have at that point, but the sound system, all the kids ministry stuff, everything was at my house. And so we literally had the huge sound box and everything in one of the closets in our house in the hallway. And Mandy didn't like that too much, but it was what we had to do. And I didn't want to carry that big old thing up the stairs. So that's what we did. And then also, two of the rooms in my house were completely taken over with church stuff. So our house was crazy. One room was designated for all the kids ministry stuff with the boats and the tents and everything that we used for the kids ministry. You can imagine what that looked like. And then another room was completely devoted to everything else. It's kind of the miscellaneous category. And one of the things we had to do in keeping everything at the house, this is like October all the way through January when we started, is we would have to carry, everybody would show up at my house or whoever the willing souls that would come and wanted to do some grunt work for Jesus in order to pull off a service would come to my house. We'd go upstairs in these two rooms, roll things out, pick stuff up, and we'd take it down our stairs out to some pickup trucks that had, you know, that people had brought over, and we prayed that it wouldn't rain because there was no way to cover all the stuff. And so we would actually like take everything down. It would take about an hour to load everything up so that we could bring it over here to the school, and then setup would begin. And so you can imagine it was a very hard. It was a lot of work. But that was one of the things that happened in January. But I think one of the things to highlight there is just to realize what God has done, even in opening doors, so that that doesn't have to happen anymore, that this church is planted on sacrificial service and giving. And that's just something as a pastor that I'm just so in awe about, of this, the many people that have come together to be able to not only have a worship service, but to serve God in that kind of way. But in January, we had two preview services, and we had a series called Community in HD. And Community in HD, we talked about, this is our graphic that we sent out and our mailer that we sent out even, but we talked about how God's picture for us and God's plan for our life was to experience community in high definition, the clearest picture that God has for us. And that really is to find community and belonging in Jesus and also in a community of faith, and how God wants us to be connected and not to be isolated. And so we talked about that, and it's amazing to, you know, this is like we were playing church back then. We were like, this is what the church is going to be. You know, it's going to be a community. All the stuff we talked about, this vibrant community that we knew God had called the Fountain to be, a community that would be centered in Christ, that would have strong relationships here, but also would help form community outside by serving the community. All the stuff we talked about, it's amazing after 9 months since we launched to see that really become a reality. That's been one of the most defining things about this church. And it's not because of me. It's because of what God is doing through all of us and the connections that God has made, that relationships have formed and community is happening. And community is happening not only here, but it's happening all in this area. And I think as we go forward, it's going to happen all over the world in different connections that we make. So it's been really cool. But one of the things that happened in January, not everything is everything happened, everything fell into place. And I hope this is encouraging for you and maybe in your life when things seem to be falling apart. We had planned to send about 2,500 mailers out. They looked just like this. They looked awesome. We were so excited about these mailers arriving, telling people that we were going to have this preview service. Well, in January, for our very first service, and it was quite a kickoff, if you will, to the 2012 year, because the mailers we had planned for, the mailers we'd sent out that we'd spent a lot of money on, found out they didn't even arrive. About 500 of them arrived at the houses they were supposed to, and nobody got them until after. Well, some of them didn't arrive, period, and some of them arrived after the event we had planned on inviting people to. So it was like, all right, Lord, what is going on here? And in fact, the very first service we had of 2012, we had this preview service at night, and NFL football was on. Tebow was playing in the playoffs. There was a huge torrential rainstorm that came through, and we were like, "Oh goodness, what's going on?" And as I drove to the service, you couldn't see 5 feet in front of you because there was a huge fog. And we had people calling us like crazy, saying, "Hey, we want to come and help. We want to be there, but I don't want to get my kids out in this, and it's dangerous." And so that's kind of how 2012 started at the Fountain. After having some really, really good preview services, we ended up having our launch team and one person show up for the service, and it was an awesome, awesome service. But we were thinking, goodness gracious, what is going on? It's just a reminder that when God is about to do something really powerful in our lives, oftentimes you experience opposition, that where the enemy tries to push away anything of God that's going to happen. And so it was discouraging, but it was one of those things where we knew that we were onto something, that God was leading us because if nothing of God was going to happen, why would Satan care about anything or distracting any of the mission? But we just kind of took that as, all right, God, we're going in the right direction because opposition is happening. It was kind of one of those crazy things, and people thought we were nuts. But we started so many times when crazy things started happening that would try to distract from the mission. We started kind of getting excited and saying, all right, God, you're up to something here, and we would find a different way to do it. So that's how 2012 started. Another thing that happened right here in this space, we got to actually feed Chick-fil-A breakfast to the entire staff at Johns Creek Elementary School in January. Really cool opportunity. Teachers were really, really excited. I got to stand in front of them and say a few words, just like, hey, thank you so much for all you do in this community. And they were blown away that a church would think of them and would thank them for all that they do. So that was a really cool thing. In February, we started preparing for our launch that was coming up in March. We launched on March 4th. And so in February, we kind of did something a little unconventional. We'd have preview services where we'd invited all these people to be a part of it. But in February, we went pretty much silent. And we didn't tell people we were worshiping. But we moved to every Sunday morning worship. And we're worshiping every Sunday at 10:30, but we didn't tell people because we wanted to use February to get some of our systems in place, to get some of the space ready, to practice kind of some of the things that we would do so that when guests came in, we were ready for them. It's kind of one of those things. One of our core values, one of the things we talk about a lot is hospitality. And we even did a series on that with rolling out the red carpet. But we wanted to make sure that when guests came in, that we were ready, that we could be very hospitable and nothing could fall through the cracks. So that's what happened in February. And so even though it was a little bit more toned down, one of the biggest wins happened in February, where the school came to us and we got to talk a little bit and they allowed us to be able to store everything that used to be at my house here at Johns Creek Elementary School, which that's almost unheard of. And that's just a testimony to to what God had been doing to open up doors. And you can just imagine, like after 6 preview services of people coming over to the house, carrying things down the step, sweating, not real happy about having to lift all this heavy stuff, that we were like laughing with joy as we got to just roll everything into one of the rooms here at the school. So that was one of the biggest wins that God did. For me, that was like the best moment of 2012. So if you weren't a part of that, you can just thank God for the fruit of the labor that's and the groundwork that's been laid before you. So when March began, we started with a huge outreach event that we called the Free Community Party. And at the Free Community Party, it was a lot of fun. We put posters up. We did all these things to kind of invite people to it. And it was going to be the day before our official launch on March 4th. And so we basically literally pushed all of our advertising chips, our poker chips, to the center of the table and said, all right, Lord, this is what we believe that you're called us to do to connect people to the church. We didn't just want to put up a sign and say, hey, y'all come and worship. Because we knew that we wanted to do things relationally. And so we were using this event to be able to reach out to people. And so we pushed all of our advertising chips to the table, put up posters, sent mailers, did all these things to prepare so much for both days. And we were so exhausted. It was like the craziest week ever, but it was so fun. And it was also one of those nerve-wracking things where we didn't quite know what was going to happen. But, you know, all the table had been set, the banquet was ready, if you will, and here we went. And but the day before the Free Community Party, as many of you might remember this, there was 100% chance of rain and thunderstorms that were going to happen directly right over top of when this party was going to happen. And so the mailers that we sent out said, Free Community Party, and we were directing everything to this one party. All of our poker chips are there, we're all in. And all of a sudden, 100% chance of rain and thunderstorms. Now, when I've looked at the weather before, there's never 100% chance of anything. I mean, you know, they never say 100% chance of rain. But on this day, that was when they were saying, hey, 100% chance of rain, including the day before. And so the inflatable people, not like inflatable people, but the people that, not fake people, the people that were actually the inflatable company, I'll say that, this was our big feature that we were going to have that was going to make this event really fun. Have these huge inflatables with big slides and stuff like that. And one of the things that they did is they called us a few times that week and said, hey, we're just going to have to cancel on you guys. It's not going to work out because our inflatables can't get wet. And we're, you know, it's 100% chance of rain. And we just can't be there. And we said, no, you need to come. It's not going to rain. And they thought we were crazy. And we were getting calls from people saying, hey, so what's the backup plan? What are we going to do? And the story behind the story is one of the biggest God moments that's happened in the life of this church. And there was a team of people that had been praying for this church, for the Fountain, even in the formation stages, all the way back to when we were even appointed to do that in June, July. And these people who were praying for our church were from all over the country, from Texas and Oklahoma and Kentucky and Florida and all over the place. And I ended up sending an email to them. I had to email them about every week saying, pray for this. Pray for an open door here, and God would provide. And so why would God not do that when people prayed? And so I emailed them, and I said, look, there's 100% chance of rain, and it can't rain. We need you to pray that the rain would stop and no rain would touch on that day, because all of our chips are to the table, and it'll mess up the launch that God's prepared for us from the very beginning. And so after we had these people praying, you know, everyone was asking, you know, what's your backup plan? And we kept saying, not arrogantly, but just knowing God's going to come, that our plan A, our plan B, our plan C was we're having the event because it's not going to rain. And everybody was like, okay, you know, it's not going to rain. And so, you know, the night before the free community party, if you were in the area, you might remember this. There was a huge tornado that literally came right through. It was like 10 o'clock at night, right before we were about to have this event the next day. And we, as Mandy and I, were huddled in this laundry room in our house. We were listening on the radio as they said, the tornado is directly over Johns Creek Elementary School. And we were like, oh my goodness. Of all the preparation, of all the prayer, of all the things that's happened, we didn't think about planning for a tornado, you know, because this is like where we're going to have worship. So thoughts were going in our heads like, all right, are we going to be able to have a service? Are we going to be able to have a space to meet in 2 days? And then they said, and the tornado now is right over top of McGinnis Ferry and 141 at the exact intersection where the party was going to be the next morning. And so we were like, all right, Lord, we feel like a bunch of dummies, but God, we know we've been praying. We feel like it's not going to rain. Come on, Lord. And thankfully, I don't think anybody was hurt in the tornado or anything. And everybody was tired from staying up late with their kids with helmets on and stuff like that. But the next morning, we woke up and we had seen, and I'd prayer team about 3 or 4 times. And we saw the rain reports go from 100% to 80% to 50% to 30%. And you know what? Not a single drop fell over top of the place where we were having the party on that day. It was a huge, huge God moment. In fact, it rained in other parts of the area. And I don't say this arrogantly, like, look at what we did. It's God, wow. You literally moved a storm so that people could be reached for the sake of Jesus Christ. In fact, the people that worked for the inflatable company, when they came, they were like, hey, we don't know what you guys did, but we're amazed that this happened. It was really, really obvious. And we knew that God had come through to even move a storm in order to reach people for Jesus. And that's the story behind the story of how this church even began. The next day we launched, it was, of course, one of the biggest wins in the life of the church. On the day when we had our very first official service for the community, and we worshiped here at 10:30 in the morning, and had our district superintendent, Ed Tomlinson, come out and say a word of greeting. He's so excited, and told about our bishop who oversees our conference, saying how excited they were about the ministry that's going to happen. And it was one of those things, again, every time we did an event, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know how many people would show up. We knew we were going to do everything possible to be able to make it work. And we didn't know how many people would come and volunteer, but all the time God came through. And so as we were like preparing and doing everything that we could and praying a ton, after that February season of just having our launch team pretty much in worship, suddenly on opening day, car after car after car after car poured into the parking lot. And we were blown away. In fact, there were people that were greeting in the parking lot, and they came in wide-eyed, and I was laughing and loving it because they were like, there are people everywhere, and there was. And it was just an amazing, amazing opening day for the church. We ended up having over 40 first-time guests on our launch Sunday, many of which are still connected to the fountain. What an amazing testimony of what God was doing. Another thing that was really cool is, well, we ended up having 164 people total, a great start for the launch. And it wasn't about the numbers of people that were here. It was about these are people who came and worshiped the Lord and whose lives are now being poured into because of the church. So what an amazing thing that God did. In March, also our children's ministry, we got to see our children's ministry go from, we used to have just one room where the babies, the toddlers, where the Lake Extreme were all in one room. And we soon found out in March that we had grown too much, that we needed to split those kids. And so we went from one room to having to add 2 rooms to split the Lake Extreme from the deep and wide. So for those who don't have kids, that basically means splitting elementary schoolers from the kids that are younger than that. And so that was a huge win as well. In April, one of the things that we experienced, one of the big wins that I remember is our first Easter Sunday. Of course, we got to celebrate just this past week our first Christmas Eve service. And those are kind of the two biggies, of course, in the life of the church. And it was just amazing, again, to see kind of what God did. Is we ended up just having a great worship service. Again, had over 100 people there, many of which from the community. But my favorite part was after the service, because we ended up having our first first Easter egg hunt. And you wouldn't have believed how many eggs were out there. It was amazing. We had volunteers putting eggs out, and people thought we were crazy because we ended up putting out over 1,250 eggs out in this ground area. And of course, the kids yelled when they saw these eggs and picked them up, and every single one was filled with candy. It was just a simple way to say, hey, we're here to support you. We pour into you. And there were so many families, even from the community, that some of them didn't even come into the service, but they were waiting around for the egg hunt afterwards. It was a cool way to kind of pour into the community like that. Another thing that happened in May, we finished our first season of refresh groups. Really, really cool what happened. We had two regular refresh groups that met and one women's group. And one of the biggest wins that happened through the refresh groups through the first season is one of the things that happened at first when people showed up in March, almost everybody was a first-time guest. And so it was kind of like we're church, we knows each other, and you know, it's like if you're a guest at church, like usually other people know each other, and then there's like you're the one or two guests that are here, but almost everybody was new. And so people didn't know anybody's name or anything like that. And so through these refresh groups, community started forming, relationships started forming, and we started hearing from their very first time, like, wow, I actually feel like I belong. I feel so welcome here and things like that. And it was really a testimony to the refresh groups, to people who were getting connected in community. When we got to the summer, most churches in the church world, if you're not familiar with this, usually things are going up, 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 and you're really pushing hard. And then in the summer, everybody kind of takes a little bit of a break and settles down and kind of gets ready to kind of restart in the fall. So most churches are kind of a little bit toned down in the summer. But when we got to the summer, God seemed to turn up the heat even more. And it was one of those things where it was cool to be a part of it. One of the first things that happened, that's the story behind the story that many of you didn't know, is at one point we thought that it wasn't going to be possible to be able to move Mike Turner, our children's director, here. And it was one of those things on the night before Easter Sunday. I was literally talking to Mandy at 10 o'clock and saying, we've got to have him here. We've got to get some more staff here so that we can be able to grow and to be able to pour into people the way God wants us to do this. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God's got to make a way. And in May, God had opened up the doors to be able to move him and his new bride, Kayla, over the summer to come on staff full-time with us, to be a part of not only our children's ministry, but to take on operations. And that was one of those things. It's a behind-the-scenes thing, but it's one of those things that for you who have kids in kids ministry, you realize the impact of them being here. But they were living out in Athens. Kayla was in Elberton, and Michael was in Athens. And they were having to travel every single time we had a service, all through the spring when we launched every Sunday from Athens. And it was one of those things where, you know, we would see them on Sunday, and then we weren't able to see them during the week. So that was one of the coolest wins that's going to impact the future of the Fountain that God worked out in the summer. Another thing that happened is we hosted two movie nights in the summer for the Riverbrook community. And it was a really, you know, there I am with the dorky signs we put together. it's amazing all the little crafts that we learned in doing events like this. But anyway, we ended up throwing two movie nights for the Riverbrook community. The first one was a regular one that was just outside in the parking lot. Another one was by the pool area, as it says, and we called it a dive-in movie. People from the neighborhood who came and just were so blown away that a church would do a free movie for them. We had some amazing volunteers that handed out popcorn and drinks and were there to just meet people. And it was just a way to go where people are and to show them that church isn't a bunch of stuffy people, that we really do care about people. And it was just an amazing, as you see, this was the one out in the parking lot. Just had a great turnout, a great time. And we learned that the first one, we actually started the movie night a little bit too early. And so we couldn't see anything on the screen because you can't show a projector when the light is too bright. So we learned for the pool movie night to kind of make that adjustment. But anyway, that was a big win. And all that was great. But nothing could have prepared us for what God did for our summer camp for kids. We had a summer camp for elementary schoolers, and we wanted it to be very different. We didn't want it to be a traditional, what most people call vacation Bible school, because we didn't want it to be targeted to church people. We wanted to target kids who weren't in church, target families who weren't in church, and it was going to be a... And so we decided to call it Extreme Games. Extreme, Lake Extreme is the... Is the title of our children's ministry for elementary schoolers. And the X is really important because it's the first letter in Greek of the word Christ. And so our children's ministry is centered in Christ and, of course, stream like a water stream with the fountain and all that, how God flows in us and out of us. And so that's kind of where we decided to call it Extreme Games, to look kind of like Survivor. And again, we didn't know if anybody would show up, but we knew it was going to be a really, really good camp. If we could just get kids there and... Please, God, have people volunteer because we couldn't have pulled it off on our own. And God, we pray that volunteers would come forward to give up some time, even in their busy schedules, to come out and pour in kids' lives. And God, that you would send us kids so that this camp will be not just successful numerically, but it will be really exciting and we'll be able to touch a lot of lives through that. And we set up this online registration. And literally the week before the camp, I remember talking to some of you that Sunday, and they said, "How many people are registered for the camp?" And I said, 8. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a small group, and it was going to be good. You know, we were going to make it work. But we knew it wasn't going to be the type of camp, the magnitude that we knew that we were wanting to do and that God wanted to do in this area. So we had this online registration, and that week before the camp was amazing. Mailers got sent out that looked like this, and suddenly the week of the camp was probably one of the most exciting times, where I was a big dork watching my email come in as registration after registration after registration kept coming in. And you know, we thought that there wasn't going to be enough kids to even make the camp, and suddenly it was like dinging every 10 minutes that a new registration came in. And it was Mike and I were sitting at Panera. And we were working a little bit, and he said, how's everything going? Oh, it's going pretty good. Here's what's going on. And all of a sudden, bink, 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 bink. And we kept getting all these registrations that came in my email. And I was like, oh, you wouldn't believe it. Here's another one. Oh, here's another one. It was like one of the most dorky, amazing things that happens, just seeing all these kids come in. And then a couple days after only having 8 kids, there was one moment when I sent a text to Mandy. And the text, this is actually the literal text that I said, awesome, we're at 49, one more. And she said, yay. A few minutes later, 51 kids, 51 kids, 51 kids. And she was like, she said, you know, wow, awesome. And she said she was in the car just crying because we had been praying, God, we pray that you would lead kids, not just to our camp, but you would allow us to make an impact in this area. This is the literal text that happened. Over that camp, we ended up serving over 70 kids through Extreme Games. In just a week, we went from 8 to 70 plus. And again, it's not about the number, but it's about the life changes that happened and the impact that God was able to make. But the most exciting thing for me was the volunteers we had. Just some amazing people who gave up some of their time and work to be able to pour into the lives of kids. They played these crazy, silly games with kids where they got messy with everything possible, did these silly things with Legos and everything that you can possibly not think of. It was that kind of camp. And see, there's the kids right there. And they ended up singing worship songs to Jesus, saying, "We belong to Jesus." Many of the kids had never been in church. And so they're singing, "We belong to Jesus." And I don't know what happened there. I mean, maybe they went off and nothing, God never did anything there. But I like to hope that there was a seed planted, that maybe we helped shorten the gap for some of these kids to one day make that decision to become a follower of Jesus as well. You never know the impact that you make. But it was so amazing to see that. And we ended up doing some crazy skits and even had some, you know, some silly costumes that we ended up wearing in order to make the kids have a really, really good time. So, but Extreme Games. Another thing that happened is the kids ended up doing a mission project at this camp. And we ended up doing a mission project where we provided health kits, had all the kids build these health kits for the United Methodist Committee on Relief to send out to for any kind of disaster that's going on. And so kids could be a part of something bigger than themselves. And so they ended up building these health kits. So it was just amazing, amazing camp. We got to August. Our children's ministry had grown so much that we had to move from 2 rooms to 3 rooms. kind of seems like a funny thing, but it was really, really cool to see all the kids that were coming in to the church. And really about every Sunday, a third of the church is in the back. You don't even see them. Most of the church, or a third of the church, is back there even either helping with kids or are the kids back there. And just a really, really cool thing of just the type of ministry that goes on. And we keep joking all the time that there must be something in the water because there's babies everywhere. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, if you're at the fountain, watch out because, you know, we keep seeing new babies and new kids, and it's really exciting to be a part of. In fact, sometimes I'll walk back there after the service, and it's just so much energy that I almost want to go back there and just leave you guys alone. No, you guys are good too. But one of my favorite moments in the life of our kids came one Sunday when they were, you know, after the kids' ministry was over, the service was over, I was standing outside by the coffee area. And so these little boys come running out. They're so excited. And I said, "Hey, what'd you guys learn in kids ministry?" And they said, we learned about how to love our neighbor. And then we get donuts." I was like, you know, whatever it takes, you know, whatever it takes, I guess. But it was one of those things where, you know, we've heard story after story of kids being so excited to come to church that they wake up early, can't, you know, sometimes an hour before they're supposed to wake up because they're so excited to get here to learn about Jesus. And even stories, this has happened over and over and over, where kids are actually dragging their parents to church. Maybe they're not in church, but the kids love it so much. They're saying, "Mom and Dad, we got to get to church." And I love being a part of a church where kids not only love being here at church, but are learning at the same time to love Jesus. That's the type of church that the Fountain is. Speaking of children, this fall, we also celebrated our first baptisms. We ended up baptizing three children. It was an amazing, amazing couple Sundays of doing that. And what a cool, historic thing. But the kids were baptized into the life of the church. And if you were here, there were many tears in people's eyes as people realized the magnitude of God's love, as seen really well in baptism, how God comes to us before we can do anything to come to ourselves, to come to Him. And also just being so in awe of the individual responsibilities we all have for anyone who's baptized up into the faith. And if it's a child who's baptized, helping them to grow in their faith so that they can make that decision for themselves. We're going to see a whole lot of baptisms, I believe, in 2013, not only with babies, but we're going to see people who have not been in church, and we're baptizing adults one after another after another. And so that was just a really, really cool thing to see. On September 30th, about 30 people joined the membership of the Fountain, committed to embody the values and advance the mission of not only the Fountain, but of Jesus Christ. And what an amazing commitment. What an amazing Sunday that was, as almost the whole church seemed to come forward and make a commitment, not just to the church, but to the Lord, to say, "We believe in your mission, Lord, and we're here to jump on board." When we, in September, we also hosted a big event for the community, again, that we called the Free Community Party. Kind of did it like the launch, and it went really, really well. We had inflatables, and we showed a ball game and all this football game, and we had a great time connecting with people through it. When the fall season hit, all our refresh groups, first of all, were a huge success. For those of you who are a part of a refresh group in the fall, we need to get some of your stories and tell some of your stories about what's going on. But community started forming in very real ways. And we've heard story after story of people saying, "I feel like this is my family." And that's the kind of thing that we want for all of our refresh groups, that people grew not only in their relationship with Jesus, but grew together. And the reason that happens is as you're growing in your faith together, you also grow together. It's the same thing in a marriage. I tell this all the time, that picture a marriage like a triangle. And you can try as much as you can to just pursue your spouse and do it on your own, but it ends up being just two cords and not as strong as a three-strand rope that talks about in Ecclesiastes. But picture it as a triangle where husband and wife are at the bottom of the triangle and Jesus is at the top. As you pursue your relationship with Jesus as a couple, both giving your all to the Lord, suddenly you find that you grow together. And it's not a bond that's just between you and your spouse, but it's a bond that's between you and your spouse and Jesus, the one who holds everything together. And it's the same kind of thing in refresh groups, certainly not in like a marriage relationship, but as you grow in your relationship with the Lord together, you also grow in ways together that you never imagined you could in any kind of other friendship. So that was really amazing to see. And God even used this December in powerful ways. As many of you are here, we had our first Christmas Eve service, and the kids came down, and then we had a huge present on the stage just on Monday. And the present was opened up, and the manger was inside. And kids came down and formed the nativity scene out of this present. Another thing that happened is we showed this video of the kids telling the Christmas story and how cute and awesome it was. But we were blown away also through the Christmas Bless Back offering. We had expected to sponsor 25 kids for Christmas, to bring Christmas to kids in Forsyth County. But I was completely blown away by your generosity because we ended up serving and sponsoring 68 children to bring Christmas to these homes for people in this area, and gave a lot of money also to UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, for the relief efforts for Hurricane Sandy. I was blown away by that kind of generosity, and I was reminded again that this church is planted, and the very center of it is Christ, but it's being planted on the wings of sacrificial giving and sacrificial service, and God always honors that. And so just the cool things in 2012, we've seen church community and relationships form. We've seen God form. It's been neat even on Facebook to see people who have never known each other before starting to connect and hang out and to spend time together, all because of their relationship with Christ and even this church. We saw so many people who have been disconnected from church, disconnected from a relationship with God, find not only Jesus, but a community of faith through the fountain. We've been able to give, because of your efforts, over $5,000 to mission work all over the world. And in 2012, we saw two people make commitments to find salvation through Jesus Christ, and so many other people who have made recommitments, rededicating their life to the Lord. And, when we look back, we do all this not to say, wow, look at what we did. Because I'll tell you, we weren't that smart at times. God just blessed us in ways we can't imagine. And that God, that verse that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him has been so, so true. And so as we move forward in 2013, we pause to give thanks to God, but I hope it also encourages you at all that God has done, even in 9 months of ministry here at the Fountain, what God has done through you, through me, through all of us, and what God will do in 2013 to reach out to so many people and to pour into our lives and the lives of those in our community. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you so much for your story, and we thank you that we get to be a part of your story here in the Johns Creek, Suwannee, Cumming area. God, we thank you that for how you love us in such a powerful way, and how you've poured into us, and how you've used us to bring about life change here in this area. And God, we want to thank you so much. We want to pause in light of everything that you've done, even through this church, and even all the things that you're going to do. And God, to just worship you in light of that. And so as we continue this time of worship, we pray that as we sing praises to you, that we'll remember not to just look forward, but to look back and to say, God, you did it then, and you can do it again. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.